say that almost everybody who's come through Coomber, that I would be aware of their low self-worth. They see themselves as not good enough, not as good as others, not worthwhile. And I think this is, they feel rejected somewhere or another, somewhere along their line. They must have felt rejected. And all rejection becomes self-rejection then, so they reject themselves as people. And they cannot see themselves for the unique and special people that they are. And recovery has a lot to do with coming to understand that they are actually made to the image and likeness of God, as are all of us. And that each and every one of us have within us unlimited capacities. You know, God didn't stay up there with all this power himself. He actually shared that power with every single one of us. And it is within us. And we can discover that power as we share it with one another. And it is wonderful for people when they begin to start sharing it. They begin to feel the compassion that they never felt for anybody before. They begin to feel a real and genuine care and love for people. They begin to feel the happiness and joy that they experience as they share it with other people. You know.
Now, you mentioned there passing on the feeling of their self-worth, and that, I suppose, is going back to parents with the children being quite young and passing on to them. Is that where it starts?
I think everything starts as children, and that from the day we are conceived, I mean, now that they can see little children long before they're born, through scanning and one thing or another, if a mother is uptight, the child is actually uptight in her womb. And we're affected by how our mothers even felt or welcomed us or maybe didn't want us from day one. That affects the child, I think, from day one, from the moment of conception. And it's so easy to affect children. Like, it's not about parents blaming themselves. Because there's no such thing as a perfect home or a perfect family or perfect anything. We're all wounded to a greater or lesser degree. And addiction is one of the ways of coping, of killing the pain that is there because of our woundedness. You know, if we haven't been seen and heard and accepted and believed in, and if there wasn't a safe place for us, we're wounded in one of these areas. And some people are wounded in many areas, and it's so easy to wound a child. Like, we'll say two little girls come to me and I'm bringing them to town and I'm meeting somebody very important, so I want them dressed up and looking great, and I have them all ready to go, and somebody gives them an ice cream and they spill it on their clothes. And I come in and I'm real cross and I say, "You're bold girls, I'll never bring you anywhere at all." One of the little girls wouldn't even hear me, to go over her head. The other girl might see herself as a bold girl forevermore. It's amazing how one incident can change a whole person's life. So we're all wounded one way or another. And that pain is underneath, you know, alcohol or drugs or any of these other things. They're all painkillers for some reason or another. And we're trying to kill the pain of living. And I noticed that with people who escape into substances, if you ask them what they do when things went wrong at home, they'll tell you they ran out next door, or they ran away, or they hid upstairs. They always escaped. Whereas more of us would have stayed in the situation. Maybe I would have stayed in the situation trying to change the people that I felt that if they changed, life would be better. So I ended up, of course, being addicted to wanting to change two or three people. As a matter of fact, I tried to change five people in my lifetime. But I'll have to say they eventually changed me and nearly killed me into the bargain. And I suppose I did the same to them. It's hard to look at it like.
Now, one of the things you mentioned there is that for a lot of them, there's no joy in their lives. And yet we live in a world today where they have so much money that they would believe they can go out and buy joy.
Well, you see, today life is all about pleasure and more pleasure. And pleasure is like a leaky barrel. You know, you have to keep topping it up. And you want more and more of it. Whereas joy and happiness are what we experience as we give them away to other people. And there's no end to the joy and the happiness and the love and the goodness that's within each one of us. But in order to experience it, we have to give it away. And young people today are very often not trained how to give. When we were little, we were trained how to give. But the greatest thing I think that any mother can do for any child is teach them how to give from their very, very infancy. Teach them how to give.
How difficult is it if you have young people coming to you with their addictions full of fear and full of anxiety to actually believe that there is a spiritual possibility of recovery?
They have to experience a situation where they'll experience the spiritual rather than to be, it's not something that you preach to people. Talking about the spiritual has little value, but allowing people to experience it, experiencing it in small ways, something goes wrong, and things are always going wrong, you know, when you're looking after a lot of people. And you ask them to say a prayer, like we say the Memorare to Our Lady together regularly in Coonburra on all kinds of occasions. And it's amazing, you know, the number of times that we actually get what we're looking for. I actually believe, and when I have any difficulties or even when I'm away from a Thai, I would be sending back to the lads to pray for this or that for me. Because I think when the Lord knows they're interested in getting well and interested in discovering Him, that He is extra generous to them. And their prayers, they experience their prayers being answered.